when he graced us with his darshan in 72 for the blend of Krishna Janmashtami and Sri Vyas Puja. Many of us, maybe most of us, came from cultures and families of Judeo-Christian background, which has a similarity with other religions in that they revere a certain holy book which is composed of prophecies through the ages, culminating in the prophet who concludes the series for good. And that conception deprives the scripture of its living, dynamic potential. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva continues to write either directly or vicariously. And that's why sometimes a more recent commentary will be signed with Srila Vyasadeva as the author. And it confuses the empiric religionists. But that means that Srila Vyasadeva directly, through his agent, compiled that shastra. Whereas if the acharya signs it with his own name, he's attributing credit to Vyas working vicariously through him. Sri Vyas Puja, the most blessed event. Because the blessings of Krishna follow the grace of his pure devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that amongst thousands of men, you might find one who endeavors for self-realization. Amongst thousands of them, one might achieve perfection in self-realization. And yet self-realization pales in the light of pure devotional service, which is most rare. And of our endless births in this material world, we become fortunate, potentially fortunate, taking human form. We become fortunate in the association of devotees. We become most fortunate by receiving faith in a pure devotee. And what does pure devotion service mean? There are so many definitions. Srila Rupa Goswami's definition excels in the sense that pure bhakti means such complete absorption in the beloved that you have no longer any individual desire other than to please him. And yet the personal nature of spiritual dynamics provides for Krishna's pleasure in the variegatedness, sometimes even conflicts, as we see between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. One in interest, difference in expression. Gaudiya Vaishnavas are known as Rupanukas, following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, who more than anyone could discern the inner environment of Lord Gauranga's heart. When Lord Gauranga was singing to Jagannath during Rath Yatra, verses which sounded like love song, not specifically mentioning Krishna. And only one person could really understand the Leela being recreated. That was Swarup Damodar, but he didn't reveal it to anyone. It was Srila Rupa Goswami who wrote a complimentary verse which revealed the significance of the original. My dear friend, we have again achieved darshan of our beloved Lord Krishna here at Kurukshetra. But this place is not conducive. You know, instead of peacocks and cows, there's war horses and elephants and the rattling of armor and chariots. I wish to take him back to the bank of Jamuna beneath the Kadamba tree, where the fifth note of his flute still resonates within my heart. He wrote that verse and then slid it in the thatch hut of Haridas Thakur's Bhajan Kutir, where Rupa Goswami was residing at the time. Then he went to bathe in the sea. Lord Gauranga came, pulled out the leaf and read it, and he showed it to Swarup Damodar. How could Rupa Goswami have understood the inner environment of my heart, which is so confidential? And Swarup Damodar answered very simply, only by your special blessings. Rupa Goswami's next verse, I do not know how much nectar the holy name of Krishna contains. Hearing the holy name, I wish to have millions of tongues to chant that name, millions of ears to hear. And when that holy name descends into the courtyard of my heart, my senses become inert materially, and love for Krishna is awakened. What Lord Chaitanya was doing in his interactions with Rupa Goswami is compared to the dawn of creation, when Lord Krishna impregnated in the heart of Brahma all the intricacies of creation, along with the purpose of this creation, which is ultimately to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya chose Rupa Goswami as his agent to revive what we call the Brijabasi spirit, which had become almost extinct with the passage of time. What this has to do with Sri Vyas Puja is the striking similarity in how Srila Prabhupada was able discern the innermost desires of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and was blessed and empowered to fulfill those desires beyond what the more outstanding visionaries even deemed to be remotely possible. In Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati cited that one verse in a poem that Srila Prabhupada had written for his Vyasa Puja offering. And just like Lord Chaitanya is showing that verse of Rupa Goswami to all the devotees, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati showed Srila Prabhupada's verse to the assembled Vaishnavas, which really touched upon the essence of his mission. absolute dissentient thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thereby removed. Now you might think that it's not so difficult to identify and eliminate impersonalist tendencies. And if you think that way, then you don't really understand how deeply the roots of impersonalism go in our hearts and can only be uprooted by the agency of Baladev, which is a combination of his plow, which uproots Anartas, and his club, which pulverizes hard shells like our hearts, to plant and nurture the Bhakti Lata Bija, which doesn't grow in the material world or in Vaikuntha. In its essence, the Bhakti Lata Bija only blossoms in Vrindavan at the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he personified that Balaram Shakti, the Adi Guru, who will sacrifice selflessly to do anything for the pleasure of Krishna and the welfare of jivas. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in 1965, a few days before Janmashtami, after a lifetime of preparation, boarded Jaladuta. After living in Radha Damodara Mandir, adjacent to Srila Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, where he would repeatedly pray for his blessings to be successful in his mission to his Guru Maharaj. Setting sail across the ocean, Srila Prabhupada revealed his heart in his diary, in his prayers. After that terrible storm, having two heart attacks in 2 days, knowing that a third one would cost him his life, he wrote afterwards, "Today the ship is plying smoothly. I'm suffering now from separation from my lords, Radha Damodar, Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Govinda. I am being sustained and nourished on this journey by Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which the nectar of Lord Gauranga's Leela and mission is revealed. I embark on this journey for the pleasure and service of my Guru Maharaj, and I remain completely dependent on his blessings so far from home." So Janmashtami, Vyasa Puja, he celebrated at sea without devotee association, as he did the next Gaur Purnim, 1966 in New York. And he wrote in his diary, "All over, devotees are celebrating Gaur Purnim. I'm alone. I have no association here in New York City. But I don't mind, because I'm pursuing the mission of Lord Gauranga, who desired that his holy name spread to every town and village of the world." Such an example of selfless sacrifice the world has never known. It is said that what Islam accomplished by use of the sword, in Christianity, with vast financial resources, Srila Prabhupada surpassed by the power of perfect humility and selfless sacrifice. So just as Lord Krishna in Nava Vrindavan was enchanted by his own reflection in the jewels, in a column, in a pavilion, the Adi Guru, Lord Balaram, is attracted by his reflection in the eyes and hearts of Vaishnavas. There is that one undivided Guru, Lord Balaram, who reflects, the analogy Chaitanya Charitamrita gives, different substances, water, oil, mirrors, they reflect the sun in different sizes and shapes and features. So that one undivided Guru Tattva, Lord Balaram, who prepares the souls for Krishna's service. And if they go astray, he comes to them in whatever abominable, degraded condition of life they may be in. As we see in Gauralila, Lord Chaitanya was so strict that he banished from his association Chota Haridas for a questionable deviation. This is the nature of Krishna, the enjoyer, the object and goal of our love. His complementary feature is non-different from him, Lord Nityananda, non-different in tattva, same supreme personality of Godhead, full of all six opulences and devotional virtues, and yet a very different mood. His mood is giving. It's sacrifice. So Srila Prabhupada's success was based on his conviction, keeping the holy name on his tongue, firm faith in his heart, in his guru's instructions upon his head. There's a prophecy in Chaitanya Manga when Narada Muni, seeking darshan of the Lord on different planets, beheld a form he had never known before in Golok. This was this golden avatar. And Narada Muni asked this golden avatar, what is his mission? And Lord Gauranga told Narada Muni that I will descend upon the earth to distribute Krishna Bhakti through the holy name of the Lord. I will fulfill that mission in the land of Bharatavarsha. And in those far-off distant lands of Malechas and Yavanas who flee from that flood of divine mercy and grace, I will send the Bengali is Morsenapati Bhakta, the commander in general of all my devotees, and he will rescue those godforsaken lands and bring those lost souls to Krishna. That is a clear indication of Srila Prabhupada's appearance, which we are celebrating today. And Srila Prabhupada, as a representative of Vyasadeva, he revealed that deep realization required to present the eternal message of Shastra according to diverse material and cultural circumstances, making that one eternal message accessible to all. But for that truth, we would not be here today. We would never have known the purpose of human life or had the possibility to achieve its goal. And just as Srila Rupa Goswami revived the Brijabasi spirit, which had almost become forgotten in Bharatvarsha, Srila Prabhupada revived that Brijabasi spirit here in New Vrindavan by divine potency invoking Braj Shakti to descend here in the hills of Appalachia, because he wanted, as a foundation and base and support for his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness through the world, an example of plain living and high thinking, where devotees can live in harmony with one another, with nature, with devas, all in service to Krishna. Samsara dava nadalita loka tanayakar yunaganaganatam. Spiritual master is likened to that love-laden monsoon cloud, which is the only hope for those burning in the conflagration of material conflict. Culminating in the Kali Yuga, the conflict between different sparks called jivas, under the influence of the winds of temptation, which burst into conflict, quarrel, hypocrisy, war. We're burning in the midst of this conflagration. We're burning within from lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. And all these unwanted emotions can only be relieved by an ocean of mercy. But how does the ocean arrive on the scene of the forest fire, the conflagration? By means of the cloud. The question arose last night, or yesterday morning, if it's possible to have a direct relationship with Krishna. And yes, through parampara we have that direct connection, that direct line to Krishna. That does not mean that we can become independent of the grace of Guru and make any advancement in spiritual life. Because Krishna knows only love. He breathes love, he speaks love, he knows love, he understands love, and he doesn't really consider any other factor. We as jivas, how much love do we have for Krishna? And how much of his love can we assimilate in return? Srila Prabhupada explained this in his Radhastami lecture, because Srila Prabhupada says Guru is manifestation of Balaram or Srimati Radharani, depending on your rasa and circle. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't offer a flower to Krishna. You'll be the loser. Offer your flower in the hand of Srimati Radharani, meaning Guru Tattva. And then he explained what the dynamics that follows. She will offer it to Krishna, telling him that this devotee has brought you this flower. And then Krishna tells her, oh, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yomi Bhakti Priyachati, I like flowers. And then Radha tells Krishna, please accept that devotee, because he is better than me. And Srila Prabhupada, in his natural, very simple way, said, and Krishna has to accept, even though I may be a fool and rascal. If my devotion is offered through Guru Parampara, it will be received and accepted by Krishna. And then, as our prayers rise, the blessings descend, like that much-needed rain from the cloud, which is the only way to extinguish the forest fire in which we are all outside of our Krishna consciousness, destined to burn. So, these appearance days are invested with tremendous blessings and grace, which will be assimilated to the extent that we absorb our minds and hearts in remembrance of Srila Prabhupada, pray for his blessings, and surrender our hearts to his divine grace. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.